Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody. This is Ken Shepherd, your host today for How to Make Money in Real Estate When You Don't Have Any, which I think is an important topic because a lot of the real estate classes, shows, seminars, webinars we see and hear about are all about how to make money in property, how to make money in real estate, and how to help yourself create more income. But the problem is that they're all about the earning of income when you have income and when you have cash. And a lot of people don't have cash. They just don't. In today's economy, with everything that's going on, a lot of people are very challenged and they just don't have any cash. So a lot of these courses cost also a lot of money to take, and then you take the course, and the problem is you don't have the support after you finish the course unless you buy more course materials or pay for support, and it leaves a lot of people kind of hanging. So one of the reasons we decided to do these broadcasts was to help people have more information so they could do more deals and become financially independent without having to spend the money for the education. And we're able to help you anytime. You can always write to us or call us. Our email address is F as in Frank, C as in Charlie, I as in India, at Pacbell, PACBELL.NET. Just put Blog Talk Radio in your name in the subject line. And you could also call us at our office, 310-358-7087. Or by cell at 818-585-9706. You could also look at our website, www.creativeflipsplural.com. And you can learn more about us there, read the accomplishments, resume tabs, join us, become a member, however you feel is best for you. The call-in number today is 347-989-1329. Feel free to call in if you'd like to talk with us. And we're going to talk today about the topic that I think a lot of people are interested in, which is how to purchase property from people who have taken back property after the auction. We talked yesterday about initially how to find those properties before they go to auction. And this is kind of the conversation we'll have today about finding properties that are already foreclosed by the lenders, and how you work with those properties versus properties before the auction. So let's kind of do an overview on what happens in the foreclosure process. Property falls behind in payments. A lender files a notice of default of some kind. Wherever you are in the country, they may be different. Then they have an auction if nothing happens and it's not taken care of. And then, of course, if nobody bids at the auction, the property reverts to the lender who foreclosed the property. Now, if it's at the auction, if there's a bidder, then the property would go to that person who has the highest bid. But many times, and we'll talk about that some other time, but right now we're going to talk about what happens if there's nobody bidding and the lender and or the lender receives the property at the auction block. So what happens in this case is now you have a lender who did never wanted the property in the first place most of the time. Some lenders actually lend with the intention of ending up with the real estate. So those are very few and far between. They're hard money lenders, which means they do very expensive financing, and they're usually look for a very protective equity position so that if a property's worth $100,000, they may not lend more than like $40,000 or $50,000. So if they foreclose, they know there's equity there, and they protect themselves that way. And those are called loan to own. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk a little bit today about the REO process. REO stands for real estate owned. And real estate owned is an interesting area because there's a lot of lenders that are taking back a lot of property more than ever today, all over the country. It started in Michigan and Ohio, and it's now spread to pretty much everywhere. in the country. And one of the things that we're seeing is the lenders many times are willing to take very deep discounts in order to move the property off of their books and wipe the property clean from their records. And the reason for that is pretty simple. If a lender originally lent $100,000 and the house is worth $90,000 today, the most they're going to probably get for that house after they take into consideration paying commissions, the cost of maintaining the property and everything else, is probably around 70% of the fair market value of the property. That's assuming it needs no repairs, okay? So let's just keep on that subject. So if a house is worth $90,000 and using the formula we just talked about, that means the lender would expect to get around $63,000 for that property. Now, there's a lot of investors buying properties both at the auction and after the auction, and there are a lot of people who are choosing to enter the market today because the properties are priced so much lower than they used to be. What we're seeing is that the lenders are competing for the people who can buy their properties from them, so they're reducing the pricing even more than the 30% mark in order to move those properties from their books. We've seen discounts as high as 50% and more in order for it to happen. And one of the things that drives the sale at those lower prices is when you're coming in and you're able to close very, very quickly, like 5 to 10 days, and you're closing for all cash. And the other thing that they look for is very few contingencies. You don't make it subject to approval of your partner or things like that. You're more likely to have the lender take the offer more seriously. And when you're making an offer on an REO, you always want to know what's the loan balance and what's the value of the property. Because at some point, you're probably going to have a conversation with the lender or the lender's representative or the agent who represents the lender or somebody who is in the lender's camp who is going to say to you, why do you think I should sell you the property at this price? And your argument needs to be, well, the marketplace is not strong. There's a lot of assets going out. There's a lot of competition for our money. And we can close very, very quickly with very few contingencies. The only contingency we generally put in our offers is a clear title. That's it. We don't require any inspections. We don't require anything other than a clear title. And the reason for that is if you require an inspection contingency for those kinds of things and such like that, the lenders are less likely to consider your offer unless you're making a higher priced offer because they have so many people to choose from to sell the properties to today if they're willing to lower the price. So, and they're all cash. And there's a lot of people out there with a lot of cash right now. People say there's no money in the marketplace. We definitely don't agree with that. We think there's a tremendous amount of money in the marketplace. It's just a matter of, is the pricing set properly to the marketplace? Okay? Because cash will follow a good deal, always. So the better the price, the easier it's going to be to sell. Like if you have a house worth $90,000 in our example, and you're able to get it under contract for $45,000, you're going to find a much broader investor base that will either partner with you, buy it from you after you contract it, or buy it and pay you a fee at the closing table than you will if you have it priced out at, say, $60,000, okay? Because there's $15,000 more equity, which is cash, profit, ownership at the end of the day. Now, the other thing that's very important is when you're dealing with REOs, you have to make sure you have evidence of funds. If you're going to make an all-cash offer, always make sure you have evidence of funds. So the first thing you think probably to yourself is, how do I get the cash? Well, certainly there are a number of people on the internet who actually will provide you with letters that give you the evidence of cash. All you have to do is put in back-to-back closing on your search engine, or something like one-day closings or something like that in real estate, and you will find people who have cash who will fund you to make your purchase as long as you have the property resold the minute you buy it to somebody else at a higher price, and then that's how you make your profit. They're not interested in helping you hold the asset. They're not interested in having you be a landlord or anything. They're interested in turning the property over, getting their cash back in one day, and knowing that the money is protected so that when they fund you, it's been paid back immediately to them or within a day or so. That's called back-to-back closings. It's not a double closing because you're using your money with your investor to close, and then you're closing behind that with somebody you've resold the property to. So when you're talking to lenders, you have to think about it from how does the lender look at this transaction? You know what you want, okay? But the key is you have to be thinking about both sides, and that's something I think we need to stress here. No matter what you're doing in real estate, no matter what you're doing in business in general, I've learned over 35 years of negotiating a lot of business that you have to think for how the other people feel. What's going on the other side of the table? What's their motivation? How are they approaching this? If it's a real estate-owned situation, chances are there's not any emotion involved and you're not dealing with any kind of heirs or anything like that, which is a whole other subject when it comes to probates and things. But for the subject of this conversation, we'll talk about the REO. So you have to think about what's going on the other side of the table. That's very, very important. The other thing, as I said, that's really important is how quickly you can close. So I would suggest that before you start making offers to close these real estate-owned properties, unless you plan to keep them and rent them out and pay a higher price, if you're going to close for all cash, that you make sure you have that source of cash before you write your offer, whether it's off the internet from one of the letters, an investor you may know, somebody in your family, or maybe you yourself. Whatever you do to get the cash, you need to have that evidence of funds. Because if you don't have that evidence of funds and you write an offer for all cash and you can't provide that cash to the lender, you're going to lose credibility with the lender and whoever works with the lender that's working with you, and you're most likely not going to get the property. You may, but very likely you won't. So you really need to have that all cash, okay? Now, if you're planning on reselling the property, you have to know that you've got the buyer that'll buy it from you for a higher price than you're paying for it before you make your offer. And they can write an offer to you subject to your acquisition of title, or you can make an offer with the cash in place, and then as soon as you get your offer accepted, you can quickly go to all kinds of places to find buyers. You can place it on you can look at Craigslist, you can post ads, you can do all kinds of stuff that within a day, perhaps even less, you'll find plenty of people who would buy that property from you if it's priced properly, and you can make a profit. And they could provide evidence of cash to you. Now, when they provide their evidence of cash when you're reselling the property on a one-day close, you can have that evidence provided to you from their attorney, their CPA, their bank officer, a person who sells securities to them like stocks and bonds, or a title or an escrow officer. We like any one of those six as a person to provide evidence of funds. Because when you get evidence of funds from somebody, a lot of people are very reticent to provide that to you, but they will provide it to their attorney or somebody else, and then the attorney can vouch for it, and that's good enough for us. If we feel that an attorney is saying that there's the money and it's really there, it's going to be verified by the person that's going to fund you anyway. But at the end of the day, that's what you want to do, is you want to make sure that money's there. This is on the one-day sales. So back to the subject of the REO. What you need to do when you're buying REO is you need to know your market. You need to understand how long properties generally sit on the market. You need to understand the average, I should say instead of sitting on the market, the average time from the time a property is put on the market till the time that it's sold. It's called market time. You need to know that. You can find that out anywhere online. I think there's a number of different websites that could tell you about market time. You don't have to be a real estate agent to do it. If you have an agent working with you, that's always good. But if you don't, then you can always do it that way. But when you're dealing with banks, one of the things they want to know is that you know what you're doing and you're educated. The last thing a bank wants is an uneducated buyer. And we see it all the time where the banks say, oh, we're so glad that you have the background and you understand what you're doing, because we're so tired of people coming in after taking various courses, this, that, and the other thing, and thinking that they can just take our properties for 20% of what it's worth today, because that's not going to happen. I mean, maybe it happens in very rare occasions, but generally that's not the case, okay? So when you're dealing with REOs, you also want to make sure that you have somebody to help you to make sure that you check the title. And that's usually a title officer and or an escrow officer that can help you look at the title report. When it comes out, it's called a preliminary title report. That's what first comes out from the title company after you get an offer accepted. Okay? And you want to look at that document and see what's involved with making sure that you're able to get from the seller a clear title policy when you buy the property, what's called clear and marketable title. Okay? That's very, very important. The other thing is, when you put up your offer, generally, even if you're doing a 5-day close, the lender will require a deposit. Now you say to yourself, where do I get the deposit? Even if it's refundable up until closing, and sometimes they're not refundable at all. Depends on what you do. Sometimes they're refundable after 2 days or up to 2 days, and then if it's a 5-day escrow, they're only refundable after the first 2 days. Sometimes they're not refundable at all. Sometimes they're refundable all the way up to the close. It's how you negotiate the deal. But always make sure that whatever deposits you put up, that you have those set up also in advance before you write your offer. And when you submit your offer, you know you can move if you get acceptance. Because, as I said, the worst thing you can do is get acceptance, only to find out you can't deliver on performance. Then, of course, you're going to look like you're going to feel bad because you didn't close, and you're going to have egg on your face, and it's not going to be a great place to be. Now, sometimes you can find somebody to help you once you get an acceptance, but it's always good to have that capital set aside, ready to go, so when you do make your offer, you can move on the offer if there's an acceptance from the seller, okay? The other thing I think is very important is you need to be authoritative with your seller, with the sellers. And that means that you want to be nice, but you want to be firm. You don't want to be mushy. So if the seller makes a point to you, you very politely may counter that point and never yell at anybody, never call them silly names or anything. That won't get you anywhere at any time in any business. But you always want to be respectful and courteous and say, I appreciate how you feel. This is what I think, and this is why I think what I think. And as I said, at any point in any deal, if you want to call us for any thoughts, feel free to do so. Now, by the way, what I'm suggesting to you works on all REO property. That means if you want to buy single-family homes, it's the same process as if you want to buy a $50 million office building. There's nothing different. There's a preliminary title report. It may be more complicated, but there's a preliminary title report. There's a seller. There's a buyer. There's the cash. There's the closing. Now, usually those sales, if the larger property, close in a longer period of time, maybe 5, 10, 15, 25, 30 days, and the single-family homes have a tendency to close in 5 to 15 days, but it could be anything. I mean, there's no rule here. It's all about what works for everybody. But whether you're buying land, a funeral home, a shopping center, a single-family home, a condominium, or anything like that, you're going to be going through the same process. So always make sure you follow the rules that we've been talking about. Now, when you get into these much larger projects, it may not be as easy to find the cash to close right away. But if you look for investors, there's lots of different ways to find investors, and we will be talking about that in another call. The most important thing you want to do is you want to know that you have the cash to close before you make your offer and the deposit. If you're using other people's money, make sure that money's ready to go. Make sure they're ready to be on your team if you get acceptance. As I said, I think one of the worst things that can happen, and we've seen it a lot, is where people make an offer, they get it accepted, and they can't bring forward the money, because then everybody gets frustrated because they want to close, they're ready to close, the deal's up on the table, and there's a problem. because you don't have the cash. So everybody gets embarrassed. So a lot of times, actually, lenders will require, or I should say sellers will require, when you make your offer, that you provide that evidence of funds for not only the deposit but the full purchase price, because they want to know that you have the money to close if you're closing for all cash. All cash really means all cash, or sometimes it means a combination of cash and a loan. If it's a combination of cash and a loan, you need a letter from the lender that says they're going to cover a certain amount of it, and you're going to cover a certain amount of it with your cash and your deposit and your down payment. And then between the two of them, that's how you cover your position to close the deal. So I think it's very important to keep all these things in mind. Again, if you want to call, you can call 347-989-1329. You can also reach out to us at Ken Shepherd, KenSHEPARD. That's our Twitter symbol. And we also post on Facebook and Twitter when we're broadcasting on these shows. So in regards to REOs, the things I've mentioned to you are very, very important. You also may get into competitive bidding with other people. If you do, then just bid to the point you feel is the appropriate point. And if you reach past that point, do not get emotional. Just walk away. And lots of times, if you're the only bidder, or perhaps there's other people bidding against you, the sellers will come back to you and they'll say later on, hey, my other offer didn't come through. I'd like to entertain your offer now. So you may very well find that you get a surprise call. And we've had it happen many times where we get calls later on, like sometimes a week, 2 weeks, a month later or more, where they say, we couldn't close with this particular group and we want to now try and close with you. I can't tell you how many times we've had that happen. And we've closed a lot of those deals because we do have the money or we wouldn't make the offer. So I think it's important. Let's talk a minute about your positioning in the deal. You always want to ask with authority. That means if you don't know something, don't say you know it. Come back and say, I need to check with my colleagues. I'll get back to you on that. If you know the answer, then say it with authority. And talk to people like you're in charge, because you are in charge. You're funding the deal. You're making the deal happen. You're putting in the cash. You're funding and closing, and you're creating a sale. You're creating the opportunity for them on the other side to have a property taken off their books and created into a cash position for the lender. The other reason the lender wants the money is because it looks better on their books not to have so much bad debt. Or even if they only have the one loan that's bad, if they're a private investor and they made a bad loan, they always want to make sure that's all they need to deal with. Okay? So basically, our feeling is that you need to be very polite but authoritative when you're talking to anybody about any transaction. These are things that we found over time are very important as you're working with the sellers and you're working with the properties. Let's kind of recap what we've talked about, because we have about another 5 minutes or so, maybe 6 minutes to this call, or to this show, I should say. Okay. First thing is, REO stands for real estate owned. It's part of the real estate process where a property is already owned by the lender, and the lender is looking to release themselves of that particular property. Okay? We're not talking about notes here. That's a whole other subject. We'll get into that later. We're talking about the actual property itself, the real estate. Okay? All kinds of real estate are exactly the same when it comes to the process. They all go through notice of default. They all go through the sale position, and they all go to REO if they don't get solved. Sometimes they end up in bankruptcy, which postpones it for a while. Lots of times different things happen. These are all reasons lenders will discount loans, because they want to get the loan off their books. Always have the money in advance of your offer. Whatever you're offering, whatever you're doing, make sure you can perform. If you can't perform, don't make the offer. However, that being said, if you have a contingency in your offer for physical inspections and such, you can use that period of time to raise the money sometimes. But we prefer to make fast all-cash offers, which means we want to have the cash on hand before we make the offer and the deposit, so we know we can close as long as the title policy is there and clear. Always make sure you have clear and marketable title. Now, there are times when you might take a property without clear title, such as a building and safety lien that you can correct after the fact. However, that's very rare, and we're talking here about the general situation. You want to have clear title. You get clear title by talking to an escrow and title officer after reviewing the preliminary title report. Once you have an accepted offer, that will be provided to you by the seller, and you read through that and you look at any problems and make sure you get those corrected before you close. If you're reselling the property immediately, make sure you have your resale buyer lined up as you make your offer, because you're not going to be able to close unless you have that resale buyer, and you don't want to not close, so you always want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row. Make sure you're very polite with everybody. Always be affirmative about how you move forward. Carry your motivation into your process of closing. Be continuous with your closing process, and don't be afraid to walk from a deal if it doesn't seem to be going the way you want it to, because many times people will come back to you after the fact and they will say to you, oh my goodness, I really need to sell this and I'd like to sell this to you. The other thing to remember about REOs is that the banks need to sell the properties. The sellers need these properties done because they need the cash so they can go on to do other things and do other kinds of business and create better balance sheets for themselves so that they can clear their books, okay? And there's a lot of property right now that's going to be in the real estate owned category, every kind of property you can imagine, from a single family home to a piece of land to a condo to an office tower. They're happening all over the place. So that's basically the whole situation with REO. The other thing to remember, we have about 2.5 minutes left. The other thing to remember is when you're dealing with REO, you're not generally dealing with a emotional seller. You're dealing with a seller who has a job to get the property off their books. Pretty simple. They come into work, they look at their day, they decide what they're trying to sell that day. They then try and move those assets, and then they go home. They don't think about it at night. They don't worry about it in their sleep. They have a job to do, and their job is to release those properties from their books of their office. So we just today just had a call, or actually an email, from a bank who wants us to buy some properties from them. Actually, in this case, it's loans, but the concept is the same. And they're reaching out to us and saying, can we talk to the buyers with you? Buyers are my partners. We are the buyers together with my partners. And can we talk to the buyers with you? And can we make a deal? Because the pricing is a little bit off from where we want to be. And the more time we wait, the better the price is going to be. And that's kind of a closing comment I want to make, too, is sometimes once you make an offer, it won't get accepted right away. Even if you're ready to close, it takes a little time sometimes for people to settle in and accept the pricing you want and allow it to close, okay? So never be concerned if they don't answer you right away. So that's pretty much about REOs. It's kind of an overview, and hopefully it's been helpful to you. We'll have another, I'm going to schedule another show right after this, so watch for any of our new shows coming up on Blog Talk Radio. And you're welcome again to call us at our office or our cell. 818-585-9706 is the cell. 310-358-7087 is the office. 310-358-7087. That's a 24-hour number. You can also send us an email to fci@packbell.net. You can tweet to us at Ken Shepard, KenSHEPPARD. And you can look at our website at www.creativeflips.webs.com. We hope this has been helpful to you. We look forward to working with you, and have a lovely day. Thank you very much for listening. Bye-bye.